God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation, the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Your days of flipping are over, at least for a while. This is Wretched Radio. If you struggle to find stuff to watch on your cable TV, whatever the, I don't want to get all technical here, is, but whatever those things are that you, what are those things, like Netflix?
Yeah,
what is that called?
Streaming apps.
Is that what?
I think, yeah, that's what I call
well,
them.
Well, guess what? We now have a streaming app available on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, Google Play, Samsung, LG, and Vizio. Yeah. In other words, all of our content at Fortis Institute, you can now watch it from the comfort of your own couch. And there are, I think it's safe to say hundreds of hours of free content. So if you've been looking, trying to find something to watch, your days of flipping are over until you exhaust us, of course, because that's what you do, don't you? You go through, you get the app, and then you watch everything that's of interest to you. Now what do? We got to cancel that one because we don't want to keep paying $4.99. Well, you don't have to pay anything for this one. It is absolutely free, courtesy of our gospel partners for whom we are very, very grateful. So if you got yourself Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, Google Play, Samsung, LG, and Vizio, our app is there. So Jimmy, would you tell everybody exactly how they can get the app, the Fortis Institute app, onto all of these streaming platforms?
Yeah, you just go, I just downloaded it myself on my Apple TV. You just go to the app store, just like you do on your cell phone, and how you download apps, just search Fortis Plus, and then log in. It's simple.
Nobody's going to believe this, but I'm just telling you, if a feeling has any sort of validity to it, there is a malady for some of us regarding technology. Mm. You just said all you need to do is go to your, what did you say?
The app store, just like you have an app store on your phone, there are app stores on these smart TVs where you download all the apps, like the Netflixes and all. And so it's the same thing. You go to the app store where you download these.
It's like you just finished speaking in tongues and I can't translate.
I'm sorry.
No, I just I hear a buzzing noise in my head.
I think the problem with a lot of these is a lot of the things that we watch come pre-installed, but you can download more.
Great.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but hey, if it's making sense to anybody else,
text
then
me.
Do what he just said, because I'm telling you, when it comes to and it's not like I'm trying to be willfully obstinate. Is there an unwillfully obstinate? At any rate, it's not like I'm trying to be a dodo brain when it comes to technology, but it's just the reality. In-house here, somebody will send me something and I guess it's like all the rage. And that's what it's a Google Doc. The buzzing sound begins in my head. I don't know what to do with it.
Inevitably, a couple of times a month, coming down the hall from Todd's office, I hear, help!
You mean like my printer not printing? And I know, so typically Matt then will hear my summons. Please, somebody, anybody, rescue me! So he'll come walking in from the office next door. Typically clicks about one button. And then walks out just muttering under his breath. I've got a malady. I'm telling you, it is real. Please send to idea@wretched.org. That I get. I also get texting. That I get. 1-877-282-BEEP. So on the technology disorder spectrum, I'm up there. I'm not totally inept, but mostly. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, our pastor passed away, and our church has struggled to find a new one. The elders are very secretive about who they've interviewed for the role. Should this be an open process where the congregation knows who the candidates are and what they bring? It feels like we have no say.
Well, it sounds like there's a couple of things going on there. One would be your polity as to how you go about the business of calling. Now, I can share with you what I think about it, but there can be variety that is all in the realm of being orthodox. Nobody's sinning if they do it a different way. But having said that, when you say that it's being done secretively and they don't want you to know anything about it, that could be something. Now, is it, it's time to pack up and leave, kids? No, it doesn't rise to that level, at least certainly not. Now, well, talk to them. Hey, guys, we just so want a pastor. And we're also interested and we feel like we're being kept in the dark here. Could you just share with us the process and why you're doing it the way that you're, and just communicate with them? That usually reveals everything, takes care of the issue. They might be going, oh, I didn't know that you thought it was a big deal. I can be that way. I it's like, okay, I got nothing to report, but that doesn't mean that maybe people aren't wondering what's going on with this particular issue. We'd like, as Arch Alpharetta Bible Church, to have our own building. All right, I'm working on that every single week. It's not a daily thing, but it's a thing. Looking for it. And the church is fully aware that we're looking. But my inclination is, well, I don't have anything to share. So what's the point of sharing? That doesn't mean they're not interested. So I have to go, Dodo Bird, the other people, they might be interested in what's going on. And so I have to remind myself of that. That might be the case with your elders. They just didn't know. And your loving, respectful reminder will help them to be better at communicating. Now, having said that, how should you go about the business of calling a pastor? It depends on your church government. If you are elder rule, they're probably going to call the pastor and you're going to have nothing to do with it. That might even be the case if you're elder led, where in your church documents, which should be available to you, if you've never read through your church government policies, you really should. Especially before you join a church, it's just wise to do that and familiarize yourself with it. And the way that it is articulated there should be the way that it gets followed. So elder rule and elder led, they might say the congregation isn't going to be involved. We're going to make this decision. That's a possibility. Now, if you're elder led / congregational, this would almost certainly be one of those times where the elders would say, look, we're going to go do the work on this. We're going to try to find a qualified individual, but there ain't no way that we're calling this guy until the congregation says yes and amen, because it's going to be their shepherd. It's going to be their pastor. It certainly affects them. So elder-led congregational will afford the congregation. I shouldn't say afford, because I just think that that's a part of our responsibility as a congregation. To care about these things, to offer wisdom into these things, not to be territorial and be careful with the preferential decisions. Well, I kind of like that guy. This guy combed his hair that way. He wore better shoes, whatever. You're looking for somebody who loves and smells like the sheep. If you're a congregational model, then you'll certainly be involved in that. So go check your church polity documents, and you can have every right then to approach your elders and ask them to either follow it or to simply disclose what they are up to. Jimmy, you got anything else? Because I know you're not saying boo today. Yeah. What's gotten into you or what's gotten out of you?
Nothing. Huh? You're just giving good answers. No, I agree. I agree with what you're saying. I have my beliefs and opinions on it. To this particular question, I do think that there should be more transparency with the congregation in a situation like this. But I'm of the belief, my opinion, like you said, there's different polities, different churches, but I'm of the opinion that elders call elders.
Oh, so you wouldn't involve the congregation?
Not so much. Okay. I think there would be a different level to it. That's just my opinion.
Okay. And now, is your opinion based on what you would call an explicit text or an implicit text or just the general tenor of the New Testament?
Yeah, so to me, what I read from the Bible is, Paul instructed Timothy and Titus to go out and appoint elders in each city. So that's the model that I see is elders appointing elders.
Right.
And so that's just my belief.
Yeah, I can see how you would arrive at that. I would take a look at those verses and say, well, absolutely, elders need to be appointed. The process isn't defined or very clear.
Now, I think the congregation does be involved. So if the elders come to a conclusion of, all right, this guy is who we're leaning toward, then yeah, they preach. And the congregation, I think, maybe could give opinions and vote, possibly. After that,
well, suddenly you become a bit more of a congregationalist.
Well, I don't know. I just think it's, yeah, maybe a little bit. But I think through the...
We just experienced an on-air conversion.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know where I stand completely on that. I do think the congregation should be involved at some degree. But I think the appointment should lead with, you know, should lie with the elders.
Well, I think that the elders doing the gleaning and the searching... Now, here's one for you. What about a search committee appointing other people, non-elders, to go look for the pastor? That wouldn't be my preference. I would say, Jimmy, I'd lean your way and say, no, I think that's what the elders should be doing. That's their duty, and not assigning others to that task. But when it's an issue, in my opinion, that affects everybody in the congregation, as they are a priesthood of believers, personally, I think they should have a say. Disagree? idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio.
Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God, but let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive.
To be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God.
And this isn't just another how-to show. Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive reveals the truth about your marriage. It's a living picture of Christ's relationship with his church. And your parenting, it's a divine calling to disciple the next generation. As Pastor Brad says, your home wasn't designed to just survive. God created it to thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at fortisplus.org or all major podcast platforms. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription. No hidden fees. Just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Question, what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered 5 powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move his truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. A good shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd, who lays his life down for his sheep. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Should sheep pick their shepherd? This is Wretched Radio. Just received a question sent to idea@wretched.org, or was that a texter?
That was a text.
877-282-2337, asking about how their local church, goes about the business of calling a new pastor. Different churches have different takes on this, and it's hardly going to rise to the level of an essential doctrine. Jimmy, you are more of the opinion that the elders should do the calling, searching and the calling.
Right.
And the sheep shouldn't be picking their shepherd.
That's where I feel like I fall right this moment.
Okay, then let me just offer this as a suggestion. Hmm. Rather than seeing the congregation as merely the lead, that they're actually a part of church leadership. Now, not with the same level of authority as the elders, but they do have responsibilities in the church. If you just want your sheep to do what they're told, then you're going to love elder rule. But if you see that the sheep actually have a responsibility inside of the context of a local church, doctrinal purity, we do get the congregation involved with church discipline, because Jesus said, hey, you're tasked with this to keep the bride pure. And so the congregation is invoked in church discipline. And when you see the sheep as those who are also priests, and when you see the congregation as being a collective pool of wisdom, that they might see something you don't. Now, every dude can relate to this. You meet somebody and you're like, yeah, they're cool. And your wife goes, I noticed this. And sure enough, her spidey sense is spot on. Well, your congregation has a spidey sense. I wish I hadn't really gone down this road, but they do know stuff and they see stuff and they observe stuff. And you might be wowed by them, because if you're the elder board and they come in and they just sing for you, meaning you have conversation and it's like, oh, that was really great. That was really great. That doesn't mean they're necessarily a good shepherd. Doesn't mean that their interpersonal skills in groups are the same level as one-on-one interview with an elder. Having that man brought in to spend some time amongst the sheep who are also priests, I just think is wisdom. Jimmy, yeah. Are you ready to march the aisle and sign the card?
No, I mean, I don't disagree with that.
But?
No, I know there's no but. I guess, like I said, I don't know exactly where I fall completely. I just know that I feel that, and maybe it's what you said a minute ago, where there shouldn't be a selection committee, but the elders do that vetting and then they present candidates to the congregation. Maybe that's where I'm at.
Well, I've
just seen so much where it becomes a popularity contest.
It can do that.
Yeah.
Now, that would be an indication that maybe there's other issues in the church that have borne that fruit. Nevertheless, just on a practical level, consider a guy getting called. Now, the congregation, hey, everybody, just want to let you know, next Sunday, your new pastor will be here. The end. No involvement. A guy just comes in. And what if 40% of the congregation is like, what? You called that guy? And all of a sudden, you got yourself a mess. Isn't it better to work through that in the call process rather than post-call? Because if you've got a large chunk of your congregation that doesn't like the dude, then on a practical level, you're just asking for a church split. So why not give him a chance? I'm just talking about the practical level. This is not my exclusive argument. On a practical level, why not let the congregation be exposed to this fellow and his family so that you've got a popular consensus? Because otherwise, it has happened more than any of us can imagine. The guy comes in and he is not the congregational cup of tea. And look out, it is division time. And you just want to avoid that. Please keep praying for Jimmy and send things to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Rick. Todd, what would be the shortest amount of time you could share the complete gospel with a stranger who asks what salvation is or how they can be saved?
Let's find out, shall we? All right, hold on. Oh, let's see. You got the timer thingy right. Let me just, I've got a timer here. All right, so I'm going to do the best that I, so this guy knows nothing about the gospel.
Right.
All right, here we go. Let's see how quickly I can do it. And I won't try to speed speak either. It is obvious that there is a creator because there's a creation. We know that this creator has certain attributes because we see reality revealing those attributes. We know that justice and righteousness are good things. That means the creator affirms righteousness and justice. And that means, as I consider my state before that creator, if he's righteous and just, I'm in big trouble because I know I've done bad things, lying, stealing, not loving. Oh, I can have horrible heart attitudes. I've not been as kind as I should be. In other words, I am racking up a debt to this judge who is righteous. That means I'm in big trouble. And that means I think that unless you're exceptional, you're in big trouble too. But here's what I know about the God of the Bible, who is the creator. The foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. We'd expect that. That's the way the Bible describes him. We also know that steadfast love goes before him. That means he's righteous and he'll execute that righteousness via justice. And if we get what we deserve, it's a long sentence, but God is steadfast in his love and faithfulness, and he's rich in mercy. And the Bible says that he sent his son to live a perfect life for us, to never, never, never commit acts of unrighteousness. And then this perfect God-man, Jesus Christ, was brutally murdered. What was happening in that brutal murder? God was pouring out his wrath on his own son. This is what we call penal substitutionary atonement, that Jesus was punished for you and me, the unrighteous lawbreakers. That's good news. And then Jesus Christ rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven and he's coming back to judge the world in righteousness. And if you're not ready, if you've not received his forgiveness, you got a court date set with the just judge of all the earth. And it won't go well for you. This day, he offers you terms of peace. Take them. Repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. 2 minutes and 23 seconds.
2 minutes.
Now, I could cut that down to 15 seconds. God is righteous, just. You're not. He's going to damn you. Jesus died to save you from the wrath that is to come. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There you go. Well, you can. But I assumed I've had some time here before the bus stopped at the next destination. So 2 minutes and 23 seconds. Now, you can figure out your length, but I hope I checked every box, every gospel aspect. I hope I captured in that. And could I get it down to a minute and a half? Sure. If I did some sculpting and crafting of the message, but I wanted to make sure that I had the character and the nature of God in there. I think I did that. I wanted to have our character and nature included. I think I did that. Wanted to make sure that we talked about justice. By the way, the difference between righteousness and justice, do you know what it is? There's two words in Greek. It's tzedek in the Old Testament. And that's what's right. That's what's straight. That's morally upright. And that line is drawn actually in the character of God. He doesn't draw the line. He is the line. New Testament uses two words, dikaios and krinos. Dikaios means righteousness, but the other word for that gets used is krinos, which is more about the application of justice. So the word justice in the New Testament can be dikaios or krinos. I hope I got that right. Meaning righteousness is what is right. Justice is the correct application of what is right. Now, that could be a judgment ruling. It can be making sure that your scales are not imbalanced. It is the correct application of righteousness. So that's really the fine distinction, although sometimes the Bible and the New Testament uses the words interchangeably. They are related, but they are distinct in that righteousness is the standard. Justice is the application. God is both. The foundation of his throne is righteousness. And he's both of those things. And he must execute justice because he is righteous. I want to make sure that I've got that in a gospel presentation. Otherwise, it makes no sense. Why did Jesus die? A penal substitutionary atonement goes flying right out the window if you do not include God's character and nature and our character and nature. And then you can gloriously tell people, guess what? God is so rich in mercy, but he's simultaneously so just. He sent his son to take the punishment for our sins so that if we'll repent and put our trust in him, we will be made the righteousness of God. And therefore, he is just and the justifier of those who put their faith in his son. I hope I had all of those elements in that gospel presentation, including repentance and faith, the right response. If not, make sure all of the gospel elements are contained in your gospel presentation. And I would be amiss if I didn't ask you right now, have you repented and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, having just heard the gospel? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.